hello everybody. How's everybody today? Welcome.
Welcome. Doing good. How about you?
Blessed.
How about
y'all? Blessed.
Very blessed. Good. Blessed. This is another episode from Profound Truth. How are you, Ernie, doing today?
Doing good. I'm doing good, brother. How about you?
Very good. Very good. Brother Danny, how are you doing today?
I'm feeling blessed and highly favored. Thank God.
Amen. And my brother Ernesto, how are you doing?
Same here. God woke me up. For a reason.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And thank you, because last week we had the pleasure to have your friend that you invited. He was very good collaborating with us. And also we are grateful that you feel much better.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
The Lord is good. And this is a mission for us, you know. And today, before we pray, what is the topic that we have for today, Brother Danny?
So today is the, got it right here. Today is the core of the gospel.
Wow, that's good.
The core
that's
of the
good.
Gospel.
Amen. Yeah, we're trying to send it, but somehow my internet doesn't show.
That's all right. I got you, my brother.
All right, that's good. But before we start, Danny, Ernesto, and Ernie, what is it what we do all the time before we start?
Gotta pray, bro.
Gotta speak to the Lord.
Yes. Do anything. I invite God into this podcast that we're doing.
Amen. Amen.
So let's pray. Let's pray, brothers. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to get on this platform and just to share your gospel, to share your good news as the topic tonight, Lord. The core of your gospel, Lord. And we just ask that you be with each and every one of us here, Lord. As your word says, where two or three or more are gathered, you are here, Lord. So be with us, Lord. Let it be your words and not our own words, Lord. Let it be something that speaks to everyone that's listening, to everyone that's watching. Let them gain a little deeper knowledge, a little deeper insight on the things that we talk about here today, Lord. And we just thank you, God, because it truly is an honor and a pleasure to be able to freely, openly speak about your word, to speak about you, Lord. And we never want to take these times for granted, Lord, because there's people around the world that don't have this opportunity, that don't have this freedom to do this, Lord. So we thank you for the freedom, Lord. As your word says, where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there's liberty, Amen. Lord. And we thank you for your spirit.
Thank you.
We thank you for everything that you're doing, Lord. And we ask that you just be with us, Lord, and let us bring all the glory to you, God. Yes. So we honor you today, Lord, and give you all the praise, Father. Lord. Yes. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Wow.
Thank you, Lord.
And like you said, Danny, before, we're going to be talking about basically the core of the gospel. And that's going to be the three chapter of Colossians. And I love that book because it's described basically the core of our belief, you know. And it's not, I like the fact that Paul, the Apostle Paul, was the one who wrote this book, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like the fact that he over explains well his authority in God coming from. It's not like and even he said, you know, when I was saved, I couldn't go somewhere to connect with the apostle, the original apostle. But no, in fact, he went to another place, and all his knowledge, the wisdom, everything came directly from the Lord. And he always mentioned that, you know, his authorities, his apostle, knowledge, everything was gained through God. Mm-hmm. On the calling of Jesus Christ, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you, he was not able to walk with the Lord during the apostle time, right? But man, I wish that we all has those type of encounter, right? Because it's directly the Lord Jesus. Hey, Paul, what are you doing? Why are you persecuting me? Mm-hmm. And he was thinking that he was doing the right thing. Right, what do you think, brother?
Yeah.
That is interesting. But the reality is when God call you, when God call us, we change radically. If it's God, now, if it's something else, then it's, you might continue the same. But if God call you, brother and sister, definitely you're going to see the whole thing. And for that, let's read some other verse. And the first focus that we're going to be looking at is the gospel, the gospel's divine origin. Like, how do we know really how this, and I'm going to ask Ernie if you can read chapter 1, verse 11 and 12 from this particular book.
Yes, so in Galatians chapter 1, starting with verse 11, it says, "But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ."
Wow.
Yeah, there he goes. He said it like you said. Everything that he, you know, does is makes clear that this was not given to him by man. This was given him directly through a revelation of our Lord Jesus.
I love, I wonder, Danny and Ernesto, what do you guys can say about this? Because I was looking at this first chapter of this book, and has so much to learn as as a member of the Church of Christ, that just those two verses right there can tell you that the Apostle Paul want to make sure that what we are following is something not just because he said or because somebody influenced to say, but because it came directly to the Lord. What do you say, Danny?
So, I mean, there's so much in this and so many insights that you can get out of even just this first chapter. But, you know, just for the audience to kind of set this up, Paul wrote this and he was angry, not in an angry way like he hated the world and stuff, but he was angry about the false teaching that came behind him and tried to destroy the work that he had done for Christ in Galatia. And so he started off this letter to them trying to establish his authority, not for his own purpose or to elevate him, but to show what he had taught them was the truth and was the only truth. And he did not do it for the betterment of praises from Jewish people or from other people, but he did it to glorify God. And so when you think about him talking about him being apostle, not appointed by man, but by God, and him saying that he got this revelation directly from God, he's solidifying that everything that he taught them about, we are saved by faith and grace through Jesus Christ, and no other method, circumcision, laws, festivals, or anything, that's not relevant. Because if it was, then we wouldn't need Christ, and Christ would have died for no reason. Like, him being up on the cross meant nothing.
Yeah.
Wow. Exactly.
What about you, Ernesto?
Well, a little bit about Paul. He used to be Saul. So he went from Saul to Paul, from Pharisee, which he was a bright young leader that knew a lot on his own age. He said he was young and knew a lot. So he went from Pharisee to preaching the grace. He went from killing Christians to saving Christians. He went from the law to faith by grace. So it was like a transformation when he got blinded and got, "Why are you persecuting me, Paul?" So Jesus had a connection with him, and then that's when he switched and like, you know what? I've been doing this wrong. So now he's led by the faith and grace through Jesus Christ, and that's amazing how Paul and what God could do in each of us.
Yeah.
And get a hold of us.
Amen. Amen. True.
Wow. That's good. That's good. And, you know, I like that part. That in the same book, he also explains something that is so powerful that I can say that, man, you had to be bold to be able to see something like that. Like Paul was saying, I'm going to tell you, even if an angel or somebody of us come to you with a different or contrary to the gospel that you already know, be the person cursed.
Yep.
And I said, man, you have to be very secure on what you believe in order for you to say something like that. Because, you know, imagine Paul right now in this time of the world, where how many delusional and contaminating words that we have been able to listen and to hear around the world today.
Yeah, so many false doctrines and crazy ideologies and theologies and just so many just off-the-wall belief systems that people have now. And, I mean, even back then they had a lot of that, you know, as he's saying this back then, there was a lot. But I, like you said, Ignacio, like if you think about present day, like, oh, man, there's so many different crazy beliefs and false gospels that, you know, they take the gospel, they twist it and add their own little stuff to it or just a lot of, it's a lot.
If Paul was here, he'd be writing letters to these churches right now.
Yeah, definitely.
There's a lot of pastors I name, but I don't want to name them.
But this is something that so strong that he has the, I would say, the bonus or something bigger to say that even in the verse 8, let me see, verse 8 all the way to 9, he says something powerful. They say that let God's curse fall on anyone, including us, or even an angel, you know, from heaven who preaches a different kind of gospel or good news, the way it doesn't matter how it's translated, right? Then the one that you already heard about or that we preach you about. Yeah. So, in other words, what was the foundation in the gospel that you guys and I know? First, I would say Jesus is the main key. What do you guys think? What about all the fundamental truth about the gospel that we know?
Well, from my interpretations and my readings and prayer and study, Jesus is the ultimate goal. Like, even back, because later on in Galatians, I know we're not covering that because I think it's in fourth and fifth mostly, but the end of third, Paul talks about Abraham. So, this was God's plan all along when he first told Abraham that, you know, you're going to be father of many childs and through that child, many nations will be blessed. And so it is through the act of Jesus Christ taking on our sin, standing in our place and being a perfect sacrifice, dying for us. But then more importantly, being risen again and overcoming sin and death, he gave us salvation, that gift. We can't earn it. We can't do anything for it. The beauty of this that I think a lot of Christians forget is God can't love you any more than he has. Even before he created, God told us in his word that, you know, you were in my care even before you were born. Yeah. So thought, like in beginning of creation, he thought of us. He loves us the same as he did when he first imagined what we would be like before we came in time. And we can't make him love us any less. And so when you think about salvation and works on your own, that's why Paul is so frustrated, because it is a gift from God. That is the foundation of the good news of the gospel, is that through grace, you are saved by faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen, brother. Amen. I love that. And you know, something that I love to share is let me ask even one of you started with Ernesto, which is gonna be number one, to read these three applicable parts that I think there are three, so each one have one. Ernesto one, Danny two, and the third will be Ernie. And then what do you think, how we can apply this? Let me see if the...
Read it from the Bible or from where?
No, I think I'm going to try to put it on the screen. Hopefully, right? Let me see. All right. Hopefully you can read this one, the first one.
Paul defends his apostleship and faith in
emphasizing
that his message came directly from Jesus Christ.
So what do you think about that?
Well, he defended his apostleship because the message, when he got blinded, and then after 3 days, Jesus gave him his vision back. And it was directly opening his eyes and seeing the reality that he was killing his own people, his Jesus' people. So Jesus gave him the ability to see in through his eyes instead of Paul sticking to the Torah and the book and the old ways and the law, that through Jesus was the way to fulfill the salvation for us, for all of us, to spread the gospel, the truth.
That is true. Mm-hmm. And you know, this is hard because remember that Paul was well known as the persecutor.
Yeah, killer.
The killer, yes. The one that wants you, your family, and he doesn't care if it's a woman or what, and put it in jail, you know.
And he thought he was doing favor for God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He thought he was doing, because he was like, hey, I'm doing this all the glory for God, but he was not doing it, you know.
Yeah.
All right.
And I think, like, it's like kind of what Ernesto was saying, given that I just gave that background, him like defending his apostleship, because he kind of goes in there to tell them, you know, a couple of verses that not only was he a Pharisee, but he was like well advanced. Like he was a really smart guy. Like he knew a lot. Like he was like, it's like a class. Like if you were, he was like the top of the class. He was like the
4.0.
Yeah, he was the A student. Mm-hmm. Like he knew the law like so good. Like he was
back of his head.
He was well advanced in the things he learned as being a Pharisee. So he knows that they remember, you know, him as that old person, like Ernesto was mentioned, but also he's letting them know, not only was that an old person, I mean, I wasn't just any Pharisee. I was like one of the top ones that was that knew a lot. But now I'm telling you that now I'm not that former person. Now I'm an apostle coming directly from Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Like when he stopped him on that road, like Ernesto opened his eyes, like, no, I am directly an apostle, and everything that I'm saying is not coming through my teachings of the law that I learned or anything that I learned by any teacher growing up. Like, no, this was directly coming from the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm. So he basically telling these Christians who fell for this, who's falling for these
law and faith.
These false teachers against, like, you accepted Christ, but the original message that I told you, I got it directly from Christ, the source. The actual source. Yeah. Like, there's no other validation other than Christ.
That is good, brother. And let me ask Danny now. I think let me put it on the big screen because I...
Man.
All right, I like the big screen. Yeah.
I hope y'all enjoying this podcast, people.
So the second one would be that one.
All right, so... Second one is false teachers were distorting the gospel, leading believers astray. Mm. And so that as I was reading this and studying this, that's just different things that came. I think the responsibility. So when I see that part right here, originally my first time I read this, I thought, man, these Jewish people are just ridiculous. Like, why would they teach that? Like, and I was all about it. Then it clicked to me, like, Paul didn't write to them. Paul didn't go out and do anything to them. He was in Syria at the time when he wrote this letter, but he didn't address them. He didn't send them a letter. He didn't tell them about themselves. He addressed the Christian people. So that made me I had this thought from the Holy Spirit, like, this really falls on the people themselves. Like, we have an accountability to discern all the messages that we have and weigh it against the word of God. And they did not do that. And they were easily swayed by a group of people who were telling them something that made absolutely no sense if you put it up against what they knew already. Yeah. From the laws of Moses to what Paul preached, it did not line up, and they fell for false doctrine. And so when you think, kind of taking it back to today's time in our world, like, think about social media and how many different things and different opinions come out, accredited or not, that we could fall for, and how easily it can seem like, oh, that sounds like it makes sense, but we don't weigh it against the word of God, how easily we can be distracted. Mm-hmm. And couple that on top of, like, most of us as Christians don't realize that we're up against principalities and powers of darkness, and Satan is really, really subtle about the things that he'll allow to get to us that seems like it's true or a little bit true.
Counterfeit.
But it's really counterfeit.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Exactly. And so we have a responsibility as Christians to make sure that we know the word and that we weigh everything that we hear against the word. Yeah. Period. And that's the only way that we can be assured and make sure that we stay stand fast, because we have that obligation to ourselves and our own souls. But we also, as Christians, have that obligation to make sure we understand for those others that might be watching us, because there's some other nuggets later on in these three books, too, that I kind of picked up on.
Amen. That's good. That's good. I noticed something in the Bible that God take a more strong point against those who teach the wrong gospel than even a person that are trying to, you know, that even went through a lot, even a killer. I'm going to tell you like that, because there is no other people that God said that if you don't repent, I'm going to come to you hard for wrong teaching the Bible description. Because remember, when people are teaching wrongly to the crowd, they might take those people to hell. You know, they might leading those people to away from their salvation.
Eternal and that's why from God,
that's why God is so strong on punish those people that are trying to teach something that is contrary to the word of God. And Ernie, you next. And let's put it also the big screen.
Big screen is nice.
The gospel is a revelation from God, not a human invention.
I like it. It's true.
No human, like Paul's making clear, it's none of this came from a human. You know, a lot of times people try to say, oh, the Bible was written by men, so I'm going to believe the Bible. But the Bible, I mean, God uses people, and the Bible says that he breathed. It was his breath that was breathing through. I mean, it was like Paul said, it was divine revelation that they were getting these straight from him. And then it's like, if you really study the Bible and look at it, it's not so simple. It's very complex. Everything connects, everything from Genesis to Revelation, every book connects. It's not, God's not switching up the message. The message has been the same. Like, even when we look at this, and there were Jews that didn't accept Jesus, but everything was a foreshadow. They knew the law so much, but they were so blinded. Like, Paul was literally, he was blinded spiritually, and then he literally got blinded, and then God opened his eyes physically, he opened them back up, but as he opened them back up, he seen it in the spirit too, that the message was always about Jesus from the beginning. Like y'all were saying, like Danny was saying, the message was always from the beginning, from Adam and Eve, that there's going to be a seed that's going to come. And then even with the sacrifice, like everything was a type and a shadow from the sacrifice. The Old Testament makes it clear that there's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. But when they did sacrifices, animal sacrifices, they always had to get the perfect animal. It couldn't be without a spot or a blemish. But then Jesus comes. He's the Lamb of God. He's the perfect, sacrifice. The ultimate sacrifice. Everything was pointing to Jesus from the beginning, from the sacrifices to, I mean, God said that he's going to have a Savior come, and he's not just going to save the Jews. He's going to save the Jews and the Gentiles. Like, everything was being pointed to Jesus from the very beginning, but they were too blind to see that. That's why I say, when you think about it being written from a person or it was invented by man, no, only God can connect the things. And when he says something's going to happen, then you look, everything came exactly how it was going to happen, and everything. There's no way a man could come up with something that complex and something to connect and intertwine like the Bible does.
Even in today, the Bible's still prophesying, still things coming up in this temporary right now in this season.
Yeah,
we're seeing the wars, we're seeing all that. The Bible's lining up to everything that God wrote, and it's true.
I love it. I love it. Mm-hmm. And for the next so let me see. This is the applicable part of this particular session. This it says trust. You can read it from there. Trust in the
trust in the authenticity of the gospel message and be cautious of teachings that deviate from scripture.
Wow, that is so truth. And I'm gonna tell you, this is so important because sometimes you have a very popular religion, you know, that can give you some type of information, and just because these people has a number of followers, you know, or maybe it's a big institution, you think you're just gonna follow? No, you just have to trust the gospel of the Lord. Amen. And Jesus clearly said, "I am the truth. The only way to heaven is through Jesus." Yeah, and this was very, very difficult, right? For all Israel people, because remember, before Jesus, they knew that the law was the system, right?
Yeah, the law.
The law was the system for them to go to the Lord. So if you make a mistake, if you do something, guess what? You go to the temple, do the sacrifice, and that's it. You go for the next year. Yeah.
You couldn't even do it for yourself.
Exactly.
You had to have a mediator, the priest.
Exactly. And that mediator who had to do it one at a time in the years, he had to be very careful because if he going
in the temple,
to the temple, to the holy, to the most holy place, guess what? He himself had to be pulled out because he sin killed him.
There was a whole process because if he just went straight in there, the presence of God. Would
Why don't you?
He had to make sure he had to be repented, living holy, and they had little bells in his garment so they could hear him walking in.
If I don't hear that sound,
then they pull him out. He's done. Jesus, I mean, God.
Oh my gosh. And then Jesus come and say, "You know what? I am the perfect land, but I also." The priest.
Yeah,
he's the high priest.
The high priest. Yeah. Now, you know, in order for you to be able to institute Jesus Christ as the high priest, you have to abolish the old system.
Yes.
Because remember, God institutionalized, I forgot that word, through Aaron, Moses' brother, and his descendants. So Jesus was not from that tribe directly, because remember, what was the tribe of Jesus?
Judah.
So in order for them to skip the Aaron descendant and go to Jesus, they have to do something new. And that's why Jesus is the new covenant.
Amen.
Oh, man. I love that because that's released a lot. Yeah. A lot, because
it
used to be for performance.
It was stressful.
Yeah.
The law was stressful, so he made a way. He took that law, put it in the cross.
Oh, my God.
Now you rely it was on a my burden. Blood. I am the Lamb.
Yeah.
You know, it was a burden. Nobody could fulfill the 613 laws. Yeah.
And that's why Paul says in here, why are y'all trying to go back to that instead of abiding in the freedom that Christ gives us by his sacrifice?
Exactly.
But can I say something else on the previous point? I feel like God wants me to say to the audience, and it's something that I try to tell myself, like, can you put it back up there?
Yeah.
For us as Christians today, especially American Christians, there's no way that you can get what you need from God by just going to church service on Sunday, then going home and living your life as if like you're not talking to God. The only way that you can trust in the authenticity of the gospel, the message, and be cautious of teachings is if you are in the Word of God for yourself.
Amen.
If you are just listening to your pastor's sermon, who might be a blessed and ordained and a godly message, but you're not digging into the Word yourself and reading and going back and going through it and praying about it and into it yourself, then you're setting yourself up in a dangerous place where you're at risk to be taken by some false gospel doctrine. And you're also missing out on how God changes our hearts and make us more like him so that we can abide in that freedom. That freedom gives us the right to be able to be free from the law, but at the same time, we're not to indulge in our sinful pleasures. And so if you're not in the Word of God on a regular basis outside of just the Sunday sermon, then you're not allowing God to work into you and get into your heart and change you so that the things, the fruits of the spirits, the love, the joy, the peace, the things that make us naturally love God and follow God and obey God to do the right things naturally without that burden, you will not evolve. And so I am pleading with us as Christians, like if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I don't care if this is your first day ever reading the Bible or you coming back kind of like I did. You grew up on the Bible. Devil got in your way, and then you coming back recently. I don't care where you are, anywhere in between. If you're not studying the Word on a daily basis and letting that feed your spirit, then you are in a dangerous spot, my brothers and sisters, and you have to get into that Word on a regular basis.
Totally agree, brother. Totally agree.
And it's true. Now you got me. Because, yeah, you have to because, you know, Ignacio always – there's a verse that I probably read, but Ignacio kind of helped me always remember that one, that the Bible says in Romans that faith comes by hearing and by hearing the word of God. Mm-hmm. So if you're not in that scripture, how can you expect your faith to grow? How can you expect, like Danny said, your pastor could be preaching and stuff, but if you're just hearing him only and you're not truly getting in the word of God, how is your faith going to grow? How are you, like he said, how are you going to change if you're not truly studying and getting in the word? You have to get in the word, because if not, it is easy to deviate from it, because we start drifting off, and then like the Bible talks about, people start to get itching ears and they start to hear what they want to hear. They don't, so then they get, it all goes through your ears. So either you're going to hear God's word and you're going to study his word, or you're going to start hearing another word and it ain't going to be God's word. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to deviate, and it's going to build whatever that message that they have is going to build up inside you. And that's the message that you're going to start to stray away towards.
Wow. Yeah. Good. Man, this is only the first chapter.
you got two identities. You got the flesh and the spirit. So you have to which one is growing more during the week? Challenge yourself this week. Yeah. Yeah. Write things down. Am I feeding the spirit more or the flesh more?
Yeah, that's a
which
good
ones
practical
are you equalizing?
One.
Yep. Write your pros and cons, and then you'll say, man, I'm not in the spirit that much. Then you bump that equalizer up on the spirit, because you want to be up here with the spirit.
Yep.
Don't let the flesh win, because
amen.
This world is real easy to be straight away, and watch who you hang around with. Like Proverbs says, hang with the fools, become foolish. So just be careful.
Yeah.
Get into the word daily.
Definitely.
Every day.
I have another point, which is basically on chapter 2, justification by faith. Ooh. This is interesting. So what do you guys understand this particular, subtitle, justification by faith? And if you go to that chapter 2, you will be able to read specifically on verse from 11 to 14, if you can, I don't know if you can read that.
I got you. This is the New Living Translation. But when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him to his face, for what he did was very wrong. When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile believers who were not circumcised. But afterwards, when some friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of criticism from these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. As a result, other Jewish believers following Peter's hypocrisy, and even Barnabas, who was led astray by their hypocrisy. When I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel message, I said to Peter in front of all of the others, since you are a Jew by birth, have discarded the Jewish laws, and are living like a Gentile, why are you now trying to make these Gentile followers follow the Jewish traditions?
Interesting. So you see, This is let have some mercy on those Jew tradition, because remember, to that point, that was the only thing that they know.
They believe.
Mm-hmm. And they believe. And for 1,000 years, the law was the system that they knew that if you want to be connecting with God or have some type of salvation, it's through that process. You know, in fact, they even include the physical circumcision, you know, like even they were believing in that point that they feel more connected with God because they physically has the circumcision on the body, which in one point it was truth. Understand them, you know. Before Jesus, that was the whole system of salvation. However, when Jesus come, he established a new system. Why do you guys think that they have so much resistance to even when they accept Christ, they still deal with that particular system, right?
Yeah.
Because look, Paul already talking with Jews that are Christian, Jews that accept Jesus, and they still are resisting that system, and they want the Gentile, hey, in order for you to be fully safe, that's what they're trying, you know, you need the circumcision. And that is the danger of anything else, because when you add Christ plus something, that's danger right there. What do you guys think?
So I got a point on that. When I was watching this video, and it said that because they're raised by the law so all this way, and they just obey the law of the blade, and they believe the grace and the faith, it was like they feel like if they didn't do the law, they were like cursing God or mistreating, not following him truly. So they're afraid to let go of the law, but they wanted to do law and works and faith. They wanted to mix it up.
Yeah.
But that's why Paul came and said to them, look, I used to be under the law. I used to kill the Christians, but Jesus spoke to me, and this is the way now. So he was arguing them and let them understand it's by faith and grace, not the law, not circumcises, not the tradition, not any of that. So that was the whole point.
And I think you can look at the Jewish people at that time, and that kind of validates what we just talked about, getting in the words yourself and really understanding. They knew the law, but they didn't understand the intent of the law.
Yeah,
they didn't understand the nature and the purpose of the law. And in an essence, they didn't understand or have that relationship with God to really understand why the law existed. We know in hindsight, we got the benefit and no time on our side, but we know in hindsight, the law was only given as a way for God to show us our sinful natures.
Yeah.
Because we sinned and did stuff, and half the time we didn't even realize we were sinning and separated from God. So God did not give us the law with the intent of saving us. God gave us the law with the intent of us understanding that the true deliverance through Christ is what we really needed, because we can't do it on ourselves. Because to be saved by the law, you have to follow every single law.
Yeah. Every law.
Every single law. Like, you got to control your thoughts and your words and your actions and your heart. And we do not have that capacity. Yeah. That's why they had to keep doing sacrifices all the time, because there was nobody that could be saved by law. But the beauty of it is God gave us through Abraham the ability to be able to see that it is by faith that we can be saved, because Abraham had received his promise directly from God, not through a mediator, 430 years before the laws of Moses was coming. God made him righteous by faith, because Abraham had faith in God's promise. God made him righteous 430 years before the law even existed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, the Jews know this.
Yeah,
but then it goes back to my point: is they understood the law, they had book knowledge, but not common sense.
And you know, one point that I love to bring about that analysis that you brought is that even in Deuteronomy 28, I think verse 1 and also verse 5 describes something powerful. It said that if you fail in one point of the law, you are guilty of all 100% curse.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, hey, Brother Ernie, Brother Ernesto, Brother Danny, if I failed in 50%, then I just received 50% curse. No.
Cursed be anyone who does not conform to the words of this law by doing them. That's Deuteronomy 27, 26.
Yeah.
I was about and to if say it, Deuteronomy 28.
And if yeah, and if you go on the on the 21st, on the 28, 21st, and also in the 25, you will see the difference. Mm-hmm. Which is say on the beginning, if you comply with it, perfect. You're gonna receive all the blessing.
You're gonna bless you and curses.
Breaking, yeah. You're going to receive all the curse, man. And even in Paul's was later on explaining over there that really the law, like you said, Danny, was intended just to show me that I cannot do it without God.
Yeah, Paul goes on
it is impossible.
It's a tutor.
It
was just a temporary, and I seen a video. So it's called, it was like the guardian.
The guardian.
The guardian.
I think I seen that video.
Yeah, it was a guardian, and it was temporary. It's to have some kind of control. Imagine if we had no law, everybody be going crazy. So it had something, but God already had a plan.
Yeah.
And made a way easier.
The part in that video on the guardian that helped me really get the law being a guardian over is, it's back in those times, we have it today, but back in those times, they had guardians that watched over the kids, usually a trusted slave or something. And so the kids, even though they were like heirs to the father's stuff, they had no rights and no real authority or any being until they became adults. But they had to listen to the guardian. The guardians kind of protected them until they became old enough to be able to achieve their inheritance. And so that's kind of what the law in that video kind of alluded to was. It kind of protected us until Jesus Christ actually came to be our salvation.
Exactly. So,
yeah, definitely. Yeah, because see, the thing is, kind of like Paul goes on to say, I think it's in the next chapter, actually, he talks about, like we're saying, it's a gardener, it's a tutor, it's like you said, we have to have a law because naturally, God puts in us naturally. When we grow up, we kind of know the basic right from wrong. You naturally kind of know when something's wrong. But for the most part, it was just something to guide us, to tell us all these things, to kind of help us. Because as a kid, you're a child growing up. I mean, you kind of already naturally know when you get a little older things. But of course, your parents teach you. Mm-hmm. So God, as our Father, had to teach us and show us what was right from wrong. You do these things and guide us. But even though just as kids, we get taught so many different things as kids, but we still end up disobeying our parents. We still end up, you know, we're young. We grow up. They say, we start off disobedient. They say, don't touch that. Touch it. And but as you get older, you know, you kind of start to follow. But even as adults now, there's things that we know. We mess up. We make mistakes. Just like. Mm-hmm. We can never be a perfect person. We can never follow the law 100%. But like we're talking about, it was just something to guide us or to guard us and to show us this is right, this is wrong. And so to keep us somewhat on track. But, of course, Jesus has the only one. He had to come fulfill the law that we can never fulfill.
Yeah, and you know what? The law to me is us trusting ourselves to do it, to earn righteousness. Yeah. On our own. It's not condemning ourselves. It's like, I got this. I can follow these laws. I can do this. I can do. I can be righteous on my own versus us just trusting that God gives it to us by faith in Jesus Christ, which means we surrender ourselves and let him do it. Yeah. It's us versus God. And I think following a law or trying to follow a law after Jesus Christ is within itself a sin because it's saying I trust in myself more than I trust in God. And when anything that we put before God is idolatry.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Can I read the Bible verses 19?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. It says, for I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. That's why we had to kill the law to have God through relation through Jesus Christ. And then verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. Mm. It is no longer who lives in me, but Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
I do not set aside the grace of God, for his righteousness comes through the law. Then Christ died for nothing.
Yep.
Come on, people.
Praise God.
Praise Christ.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
God is good.
God is good.
Definitely, because he knows that we couldn't do it without him. And kind of even going back up to like where we're talking about where Paul confronts Peter. And a couple of things I like about this. One thing, it goes to show you that even Peter, the disciple and apostle he was of Jesus, he still was human and he made mistakes just like we're human. Mm-hmm. But also, it also shows you that like you can't try to have it like what we're talking about both ways. You can't try to follow the law and follow Jesus. It's like, no, because as you read Ernesto, when it gets down to the bottom, it's saying if we're doing that, we're saying that Jesus is, him dying was for nothing. So, and then the crazy thing about Peter, though, is kind of just like modern day things. Crazy. Like, well, it was like he was around one set of friends and he acted some type of way. Then his other friends came.
He was capping.
And, you know, and it's kind of like now, like, you know, we've been guilty probably that of our time in our life. Like, we had different groups of friends, like, and when we had one set of friends and we acted some type of way, and then we tried to, when the other set of friends kind of came around, that you know, or you get into it with that friend, and you know he might confront you, and be like, "Hey, bro, you was, you know, you was acting kind of funny around them, bro. Like, why you was acting like that?" And so he had, just to see that with him and Peter, he had to like tell him like straight up, like, "You're being a hypocrite right now because you're eating with the Gentiles, but now your Jewish buddies came around, and now you're like, oh no, we don't eat with the Gentiles. People, yeah. I don't mess with them."
That was crazy. When I read that, I took several things from that. So the first part I took from that real quick was the peer pressure. Yeah. Like you would think Peter, the rock, would not succumb to peer pressure like that, but he did.
Yeah.
And so that was the first thing I took, is that like we as Christians still have to be able to like stand firm in our faith and be true and not let peer pressure. Because, I mean, peer pressure for us could be, you know, our brothers and sisters that are in the wrong, steering us the wrong way, and we want to fit in.
Yeah.
The other thing I got out of this, too, is when we see somebody, a brother or sister in Christ, not doing the right thing, we got to be courageous in God and call them out.
Yeah.
Yes. We got to call them out. But the most dangerous thing in here that we got to remember is not only did Peter succumb to peer pressure and stop eating with the Gentiles just so he can fit in, he took Barnabas. He led other people astray.
Somebody down with them.
That's dangerous. Yeah. That was the third nugget I got out of here. It's like, man, if you're not steadfast, not only are you taking yourself down, but you never know. And we kind of talked about this in our Bible, our men's Bible study. Like, you just never know who's watching and who might lose faith because of you. Mm. Like, think about all these preachers who people follow. They're flawless humans, and then they do something, and the dirt comes out, and then like that makes people
not want to follow
Christ, and it takes out their faith. And so we have an obligation as Christians and followers. I don't care if you're a pastor, just a newly given person to Christ, to make sure that we
it's accountability.
It's that accountability, and I pause because I don't want to say it in a way that makes the way you feel like it's religious, because I think that's what got me, because I accepted Christ when I was 12. Mm-hmm. And I remember, and I was thinking about this the other day, I remember like it felt so hard to be a Christian. It like really felt hard to be a Christian. Yeah. And I was a teenager and I didn't know any better. I was reading the Bible, probably really didn't understand, but it felt so hard. What I mean like that is like, if I didn't say the right thing or I had a bad thought, like I was all over myself.
Yeah.
Like it so felt so hard, like I had to be perfect to be right with God, the law.
That's how I felt when I first became a Christian. I was like, I was so scared of everything. Yeah. Like, no, I can't do that. And God's going to be mad. Mm-hmm. And it was like, until I find out grace and
faith. Do you feel like grace? And
I felt like this pressure relief. Like, oh, I understand now.
That freedom, like, yes. Freedom. That freedom. It's just like,
because even a pastor he'd see me like, oh, man, your spirit's light. And I was like, what if I told my nephew, what do you mean by that? Because he sees you more light, calm. You're not all stressed like here in the world. Like, oh my God, I'm nervous. I can't get it right.
Yes,
you know?
That's that freedom. So
that freedom.
It's different.
Yeah,
it's different because when you're trying to like, don't lie, don't steal, don't do this, can't watch this, can't do this, can't do that, can't do that. It's like, oh my goodness, like it's overwhelming. But when you have faith in Christ, and you let him work on you. You stay in his word. You pray. You praise him all the time. You commune with him. You have fellowship with brothers and sisters, and you do all. Then it just comes natural. It's like your heart just changes, and your heart follows and obeys God naturally. Yeah. And then it's and peace, it's joy. Yeah. It's,
all the hardness goes away.
Yes. Yes, and that's what we got to help. If we come across Christians and brothers and sisters like that who feel like we felt, like that's when we got it. We got to pull them aside and be like, no, let me help you out. Yeah.
Let me understand.
Yeah. Hey, Ignacio, you probably didn't want the conversation to go that way, but.
No.
God does what he wants to do.
Yeah, and that's okay. That's okay because we are exploring this, and I think. Have a lot of points that we can navigate, you know.
Yeah.
It's no, this is not an organic conversation. Yeah. It's you know,
by the Spirit.
Yeah. Amen.
And I love the fact that the gospel or the word of God has so much to give that you sometimes read this scripture and the scripture just is for something that you specifically are looking for. And then suddenly it's the same scripture give you knowledge for something to that you can overcome, you know, and that you are struggling with. So that's why it's alive, because it's not just for one specific target. It's for your life. And believe me when I say your life has a lot. We, as a human being, deal with many things.
Yeah.
And just going back to where the Lord... You know, through Jesus, we overcome so much because the Jewish people in that time, they were attempting to justify themselves, right? Mm-hmm. And then Jesus said, you know what? You say that you heard that if you have sex with a woman that is not your wife is against the law. But let me tell you. I tell you now that even if you look a woman and seeing with that person in your mind,
it's the same thing.
It's the same, yep.
In your mind. That's it. If you want to just justify yourself right there and he put it that way, God, I need you. I need you because now it's impossible. So God, Jesus made it so impossible for them to trying to justify, but so easy for them to be saved. Just accept me. Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He's the path, the way, the truth, the only way. Because you know some religion want to tell you that there is many way. Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna tell you, those other way that is not Jesus going straight to hell.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because he's the only way.
Yeah.
So I wanna share those few points, if you guys can, just in the same order, the first. I'm gonna ask Daniel to read it all of them, and then each one of you commenting in the point. That way, it's easy.
All right. So first point: Paul recounts his confrontation with Peter over legalism and the importance of faith in Christ. Second one, justification is by faith in Jesus Christ, not by observing the law. And the third one, the believer is justified before God through faith, making us heirs of God's promise.
Amen. So, this is deep. I don't know if you want a little bit more time for you guys to look at it. And Ernesto, the first one.
Brown recounts the confirmation of Peter over legalism. So. Well, that's what the whole point of Paul going to the Gentiles to reconcile the wrongdoing to get them back in the right path, to teach them it's not just works, it's the key is faith through Jesus Christ.
Wow, yeah.
Yep.
You know, why the Lord Jesus have to say it through him, but it's still we have so many religions that want to change that. I'm telling you, religion very close. And today, I'm gonna tell you, for instance, there is some religion very popular that have a system, you know, that they say that Jesus was the archangel brother, or some other religion say that he is a Lucifer brother, and some others say that Jesus is not really the son or
he's a prophet.
A guy, he's just a good man, you know, a good prophet that came and lived, and that's it. I mean, all those religions that doesn't recognize Jesus, it doesn't matter how powerful they are, how strong they might be, how many people they might have, how popular might be. Mm-hmm. They have no truth when they say something like that, because Paul clearly say in the beginning that if somebody, even us, I'm talking about, he said the apostle, even one of the apostles, even an angel, hey, what a most powerful things that an angel come and give you some information. And he said, even an angel that come to from heaven and tell you something contrary to the gospel that he or they already told them, that person be cursed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly, so, you know, I think about that verse because that's where the Nation of Islam, they say that an angel came and told Muhammad this deep new revelation of Christ, and they built a whole religion off of it. And the Bible clearly says that even if an angel, so that just cancels out the whole Muslim thing right there, because their prophet is saying that an angel, Gabriel, came and gave them this new revelation. Mm-hmm. And Paul, and we're talking about Paul here, who was here hundreds of years before Muhammad even was born. And he's saying that even if an angel comes, and then, like you're saying, Nasser, there's so many religions and so many, and a lot of them, they accredit Jesus in a way, and they tell him he was a prophet. He was this guy that, you know, had this knowledge, and he was a wise, or all these different things to recognize him. But the key thing, the devil's so deceiving that the biggest thing, and to someone else that follows that, it might seem like a minor detail, but it's the biggest detail ever. Yep. They don't accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. So the Muslims, they're against a lot of the same things. They're against LGBTQ. They're probably against abortion. They have so many things that line up so similar to Christians. But the main thing that they're missing is they don't accept Jesus. And if you don't accept Jesus, that's what we're talking about here. That there's no. You know, Muslims believe they try to do, if they do something wrong, they have to do so much good to outdo the wrong. But that's works. That's law. That's saying, and if that's the case, they're never going to make it. And that's what we're getting at here with Paul talking about, it's only through Jesus, because we're never going to make it. We're never going to be able to outdo. We're not earning our way. We're not earning our salvation. We're not earning our way to God in heaven. No, there's nothing you can do to earn your way. As we said earlier, you know, as Danny said, like, all of us are saying, like, yeah, it seems so hard, but once you grow in that relationship with Christ, it's not going to feel so hard, because God's going to change your heart. Yep. And he's going to soften your heart. He's going to take that heart of stone and get that heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Mm-hmm. And now you're going to want to do those things for God, not out of, like, I have to do this, I have to do that.
Out of obligation, but out of love.
Out of love.
Yeah.
The key is love here.
Yeah. Everything is love. I mean, like, you think about all those other religions, they mention, it's funny that they mention Christ, though.
Yeah.
Like all those religions mention Christ. But you know what? We were created for God's purpose. God created us because he wanted a free will being that chose to love him. And God, in his almightiness and awesomeness and his ability to foresee all time, knew a sinful creatures were gonna put him through all this, but he said it's worth it, because at the end I'm gonna have a people that chose to love me, that I delivered, and I'm gonna spend eternity with,
come on,
doing great things. That is the purpose of life. We were created to please him,
hallelujah,
amen, to glorify him, to commune with him, And he loves us in return and blesses us and takes care of us. And any other religion that doesn't come down to us being realigned with God is false. And the only one that does that is Jesus Christ, who was God himself, that died for our sins, took the punishment that we deserved. And just by saying, I repent of my sins, I accept you, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior, we instantly are saved by grace, not by faith. We get the Holy Spirit, the same power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead, now dwells in us. And so now we don't need a priest anymore to intercede between us and God. And if he went too far, he died himself to intercede between. But we now have God dwelling in us, and we can commune with him directly and call him Father. Everything else that falls outside of us being reconciled through Christ with God is false. Come period.
Amen. Period. Amen.
That's no true. More from that.
Yeah. Come on. And then it gets so much, even thinking about the scripture Ernesto read at the end, like just as Jesus died for us, that's what we do. As it says, we're dying. Our old person dies. Died, yep. So in order to live, something's got to die.
Yep.
So something's got to die. Your gotta old self has something. To die. Yes. You got to sacrifice something. Your old self has to die. So that's why Paul says that it's no longer me that lives. It's Christ living in my old self has died. Just as Jesus died and rose again, he wants us spiritually to. The old person's got to die. You got to repent, accept him. Your old self dies away, and now you're born into a new creation, a new person.
Yeah. And the more you're in the spirit, the more you're in the word, the spirit, he transforms your mind. That's what the Bible says.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Come on.
I agree. And I have a question for you, Guy.
We have some answers.
Come on.
Let's see it. Let's see if you're ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. That's what I wanted to hear. Okay. First question. Can you read it?
Who wants to? Anybody?
How can I ensure that my
understanding
of the gospel remains true to God's word and not destroyed by legalism and false teaching?
Wow.
Yeah.
How do I ensure my understanding? Get in the word. Learn what he has to say.
Yeah.
Get in James. Yeah. Go read them little Johns. First John, Second John. He'll teach you how to walk.
Yeah.
It's a powerful book. Get in the word. Know where the Bible's at.
Yeah. And the Bible says, anybody lacking wisdom, ask God, who gives it to them freely. Mm-hmm. So praying with God, asking the Holy Spirit to guide you and give you revelation and insight, and then digging into the word. Mm-hmm. Just read it.
Yeah.
Pray over it, read it, get into it.
Yeah. I was going to say, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the Bible says. So once you got that fear and you want to read more about it, he teaches you a lot. It changes you inside out. Different person.
So does that fear mean scared?
No.
What does it mean?
It means fear of that you love God so much that you're willing to obey his...
That reverence, that respect. Yeah.
It's not a beef scared. Yeah. Like, oh, my God. Yeah. You know.
Kind of like,
yeah, I'm glad you asked that. For
that's a good question.
Anybody ask.
Sometimes people think fear.
Yeah.
And they're like, why do I need to fear God? It's not necessarily a fear, like, oh my goodness, I'm scared. Mm. But
not that fear.
It's more of a respect and a reverence, like Danny said. Because, I mean, I guess when we say in a fear, it's like, I'm fearing that. I know I don't want to go to that place of eternal punishment, so I need to get right. So, in a way, it's like, but it's not so much a fear, like a dreading fear, like you're so scared. Like, no, God tells you later on in here that God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of peace and of sound mind. Yeah. So it's not a fear like, oh my gosh, God's going to just strike me down right here. But it's more of a
love fear.
God, I'm sorry. Like, I went against you. Like, fear brings you to that repentance. It brings you to that knowledge. And it brings you to that place like, oh, I messed up. Like, sorry, God, because you don't want to go another moment in that mistake because it's just a little leaven leavens the whole lump and it just gets worse.
Amen.
That is true. And I have another question. Let me give it this to Danny, since Ernesto read the first one.
All right.
Is it the same?
That's the same one, sir.
Yep, same one.
Okay.
All right. In what areas of my life am I tempted to rely on my own efforts rather than trusting in God's grace through faith? Wow. Mm. That's pretty deep.
Yeah.
I think just in general, I think what we, and myself included, is a lot of times we don't even realize that we're relying on our own efforts rather than trusting God. We think that we probably trust in God, but we're really relying on ourselves.
It could be like in the job.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to.
That's what I was going to say. I was going like, to say it generally.
You know what? Yeah. I'm trusting. Man, I need this overtime. You know what? You focus on that so much. Like, God, you're my provider. Mm-hmm. Why am I relying on the job? I can miss the whole week, and you still will provide for me.
Yeah.
And you get stressed out over, like, oh, where's the money? But the faith in God and knowing that he is your provider, he will supply all your needs, riches, and glory. Come on, somebody.
That is very true. Oh, spirit. Yeah. And, you know, for me, I'm going to add on that, too, because I don't play with God when it comes to tithing, so I've tithed.
Yes.
Same here. So I'm like, God, that's yours. But you know what? She might be watching, so don't get mad at me, babe. But I think my own personal testimony, like I was joking, but it came from a mindset that didn't trust God. She said something about getting something, and I was like, man, I made a comment kind of like why we got to spend that money? We need to watch money. And it's not that money was an issue. It's just coming from like, you know, okay, I'm a man. I grew up poor. I remember sleeping in the car with my mom when we was a kid. So I've always had this personal thing. Like I'm gonna work 50 jobs if I need to take care of my family. But that is a self mentality.
Yes.
And so even the smallest little things, like what you said with working the overtime on this stuff is not trusting God completely. Yeah. Like you're still holding on to it. And so that's why we gotta continually on a daily basis sacrifice ourselves. Mm-hmm. And come to Christ. And I asked my wife, I said, you know, I'm sorry. I apologize. I shouldn't have said that. Yeah. But I'm grateful that the Holy Spirit kind of like gave me a kick in the gut and be like, dude, really? Do you realize like you saying something that you just jokingly about, but it's really a dependence on yourself and you trying to provide your own means and manage. Not that God doesn't want us to be good stewards, but my faith was more into like, hey, watch every dollar, make sure we stay, be wise about it. Like, we don't want to go that route. It wasn't like it wasn't in a good way. It came from a bad place that wasn't trusting God. And so I think we can find relevances about the temptation to rely on our own efforts in big ways, but I think it's those little ways like that that we kind of get used to and that we don't pay attention to that prevent us from having that breakthrough with God.
I think we all probably, it is definitely like, money, you know, your job, like, money. Of course God wants, you know, a man's supposed to work or, you know, we're supposed to provide and work.
Yeah.
But it gets to, it's still always with everything, it's that balance. Like, of course work. I mean, take some overtime, make some extra money. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. But when that overtime and that extra money that you're making gets takes you away from God, takes you away from so many different things that now your job and that money now doesn't turn into a form of idolatry because now you're putting more trust into that.
That money becomes more important.
Versus trusting in God. Like, if you can take some overtime work, that's like definitely not wrong. But it's like when it gets so much to where now you're like, what am I going to do? And you're thinking you're doing anything just to get that more money. When at the end of the day, just go to work your job, and trust that God, if it's not working out exactly right then, he's going to make a way for it to work out. And I think another area in life is people, maybe people that we know, people around us, trying to change them to be, you know, we want to help them, but at the same time, we have to allow God's room to allow them to change too. And I know it's something I'm guilty of myself, like trying to, you can assist, but at the end of the day, you can't change that person. God is the only person that can truly change that person. You can assist them, you can help them, they can come to you for advice, or you can give them advice or help them out, but at the end of the day, I'll just speak for myself, like I grew up in church as a kid, I strayed off and did the wrong thing. And my parents could tell me, you don't need to do this, or you need to do that, or you need to go to school for this, you need to do that, and whatever. But until I decided to make that change and to allow God to really ask God to, God, I'm done with that, to make that change, that's when that true change came. So it's a two-way street. Like, you have to want to make it, mm-hmm. and you have to allow God. So, but it's the same thing when you see somebody else, a friend or a family member, that, you know, maybe you want them to come to Christ, or and you're praying for it, but then you're trying to control them so much that you're not allowing God to make that change in them.
Yeah, one last one I want to emphasize on this, because I think it can be relevant for all times right now. Because it just popped out to me right now, like, tempted to rely on my own efforts rather than trusting in God's grace through faith. When you think about things like how many people, like, I hear it out, like, at work and stuff, and I'm talking to people because, you know, I'm at work and God pops out. Yeah, all the time. God just pops out here and there, and I'm like, I'm not shy about it. Yeah. But it made me think of, like, how many people out there think just going to church is going to save them, rather than in the truth. So they thinking, like, hey, I'm, or they say, I'm a good person. I donate and I volunteer, and I'm a good person, so I'm going to heaven. Yeah. Like, it's little things like that that I don't know who I'm speaking to out there, but that's not going to save you. Yeah. Like, just going to church every Sunday is not going to save you. Going to church and singing in the choir every Sunday is not going to save you.
Yeah, you're just checking a box.
Yeah, you're just checking a box. So there's a lot of things that you can do that the world deems like is good, but it's only through repentance and acceptance of in faith of Jesus Christ that you receive true salvation. That is true. And nothing else. That is the foundation for your salvation.
Yeah. That's why the Bible says people will perish for lack of knowledge.
It just hit me, Danny, like exactly what you're saying. So to sum that up, it's like, people say I'm a good person, but at the end of the day, your good works is not what's getting you there. So you're relying on your good works versus relying on your faith and grace in Jesus Christ. Because people say I'm a good person. The Bible, God gets kind of straight up and says, there's no one who's good, no, not one. Mm-mm. So, I mean,
he even said our works are like filthy rags.
Yeah, so it's like God's not directly saying that nobody, there's not one good person, but he's saying, like, if that's what you're thinking is going to save you, your good works, there's none of y'all are good. Y'all are all, like Ernesto said, filthy rags. Like, we're filthy rags. No, we're going to mess up. We may have good intentions in our heart. We may do good things, but there's something that we've done or might do later, and maybe it's unintentional, but naturally we fall into it. And so if you're thinking that your good works, you're relying on that, that's just not going
to
cut it.
There's a Bible that came up to me. I don't know where it's at, but it says, if the righteousness barely makes it, what will you think the ungodly will?
Yeah, amen. And I hear the music right now, and if y'all don't mind, I know that means the end, but I do want to say, like, hey, we've been talking about faith and salvation in Christ, and so if there's anybody now or in the future watching this on replay that hasn't given your life to Christ, I'm gonna ask you to do so now. Christ died for your sins, and so if you're hurting or you're carrying a burden, if you feel like there's no way, like, God loves you. He loves you so much that even yet while we were still sinners in our sinful nature, he sent his son to die on the cross for us. And so if you declare with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So I'm encouraging you all to say that out loud.
Yeah.
And then for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. Ignacio, you the man. It is for with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So I'm going to ask you right now, if you don't have Jesus in your life and you know that you're lost and you need him and you want to be saved and you want to have eternal life through Christ and you want him to come and change your circumstances, give you that peace that's unspeakable, and you need him, just reach out to God and pray this prayer and say, Father God, and I accept you in the name of Jesus. I know that I'm a sinner. I repent of my sins, and I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior in faith. Thank you for saving me. Amen.
Amen. That's beautiful. Amen. Thank you, Danny.
Get in the Word. Get your Bible.
Find a church.
Find you a church that preaches by the Bible. Amen. And then make sure that you stay in constant prayer with God, and he will guide you in your path. And so if you prayed that prayer, God bless you. We love you. Yeah. We'll see you in heaven, and we're happy, excited for you.
That's right. Hey, yeah. I appreciate it, Danny. Hey, we're just moving in the flow of the Holy Spirit here, because Ignacio earlier had put it up, but he accidentally put it in Spanish. But I mean, just Danny. I don't think Danny even caught it, but we're just flowing over here in the Holy Spirit. We're just,
amen.
We're in the overflow right God now. We're just letting it flow. Yeah. But yeah, you know, as Danny said, you know, if you prayed that prayer, hey, as the Bible says, you're our brother, you're our sister, you're in the family of Christ, yeah. and find you a church, and find you a church as these things we're talking about. That's sticking to this gospel that we're talking about, not. Because you have to be very careful. Go to a church that's preaching the gospel, because it is hard out there. There's some places that are doing some off-the-wall things. But, yes, find you a church. You know, God never meant for us to do it alone. You know, get in a church. Find that community of brothers and sisters that are going to be there to walk alongside you and help you grow in your faith, help you mature in your faith, and just that are going to, you know, be there for you. You know, it's all about community, even accountability, all that goes into it. And just someone that's going to help you grow. Because, I mean, right now this is, you know, I met Ignacio through church. I met Danny at church. Mm-hmm. Ernesto, I kind of met, you know, often. I know we both grew up in Galveston, but, you know, through a mutual friend, mm-hmm. we finally officially met going to church, and stuff like that. So it's, that's where it's at. Like, I mean, you go looking for godly people, you got to go to a place where they're all gathered at. And so
that relationship with God had to be clear, you know.
Yeah. So
especially in today's world.
Yeah, because it's you know, it's just like when you were living that old life, you went to those places and that's where you usually found friends, and now it's the opposite. Now you're going to go to a different type of place and find those people. So
before you know it, you'll be like, hey, they're having a revival where? Like, you know, you want to go every revival, worship place. Like, let's go.
You'll be on Friday nights night. Instead of in the club. You'll be at Bible study. And loving it. Getting to work,
So find you a church. I mean, if you're in this area, hey, come through, you know, to ours, the Fellowship Tech City. It's 2222 mm-hmm. North Highway 146. There's three services. There's an 8:15 and 10 o'clock, 11:45. Come out. If you're not in an area, like I said, I encourage you, find a church.
Yeah.
Get a Bible. Get in your Word. Let's do it. It's time. You know,
Team today. Jesus.
Yeah, Team Come Jesus. On. Today's the day of salvation. Today's
the day of salvation.
Again, we appreciate y'all for watching. Appreciate y'all, Danny, Ernesto, Ignacio,
my brothers
out here. Appreciate, you know, glad we're able to do this. And remember, it's through your faith and grace that you can be saved. That there's nothing you can do to earn it. It's freely given to you. He died on that cross for us. And he did it because that's how much he loves you. That's how much he loves all y'all. And just get in that relationship. Don't focus on where you're at right now. You get close to the Bible. Says you draw close to him, he draws close to you. So just draw close to him and let him do the work that he's going to do in you. And he works from right here, from the
Come
inside.
As you are.
Yeah.
And just let him do his work.
And just for the people to know, next Saturday will be the youth
podcast.
However, following that, we're going to continue with this particular topic with the last three chapter of Galatians.
Yeah, and those just as juicy too.
Yeah. So you can tell this is so good.
Galatians 5.
So again, we appreciate it. You know,
tasty.
We'll see y'all next time. Like this, subscribe, follow, share it. You know, hey, we have ways of sharing the gospel in a way where you never know, this could touch. You know, we have this go on Spotify and things, and we could see the analytics, and this stuff touches all over the world. So don't underestimate what one little share can do, because somebody needs to hear it, and everybody needs to hear about Jesus. So God bless y'all. We appreciate y'all watching.
Thank you so much.